really need someone to talk to. Work's been crazy lately, and I can't make rent anymore. I can't pay the bills, and I don't know, I'm just stressed. I don't know what to do, so call me back. Look, it was your idea to move to the city. Now I'm here, so why are you being so distant all of a sudden? Did I do something wrong? Who am I kidding? I don't even know if you're gonna hear these. Hey, I'm sorry for all the manic calls, and I'm sorry for doubting you. I know that you care. I know you're not trying to be distant. You've always been there for me when I really needed you, and I know that this time isn't any different. Just, if you have time, I would love to see you. Call me when you can, okay?
Well, good morning. For those watching and listening online, thanks for taking the time to do that. Well, first of all, I want to say thanks to Tim to fill in last week. Oh, man, he did such a great job continuing our series, When God Feels Distant. Well, today we're going to wrap up our series in prep for Easter this upcoming week, so we're looking forward to that. There are times when things feel over, but they aren't. Like, imagine, I'm sure you have, watching a sports game where your team is down with seconds left, right? You're watching your team, they're down. The crowd starts leaving, assuming that it's over, until an impossible last-second play changes everything. In fact, that actually happened to my grandfather, who was at Three River Stadium in Pittsburgh on December 23rd, 1972. They were ready to leave the stadium. They thought the game was over. The Steelers were down 7-6 with 22 seconds left in the game, down to their last play, a 4th and 10, seemingly impossible. Steelers quarterback Terry Bradshaw threw a pass intended for one of the running backs. It bounced off the helmet of the other team's safety. Then the other running back, Franco Harris, caught the ball right before it hit the ground, ran for a game-winning touchdown, and the play has been dubbed the Immaculate Reception. And just for grins and giggles, let's take a look.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away, and his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off! Franco Harris has it! And he's over! What? Franco Harris! Grabbed the ball on a deflection! 5 seconds to go! He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored!
I hope you enjoyed that. As we close out this series, we often think that maybe a situation that we're in that seems impossible, we're just done, man. It's over. But the reminder that we've been given the last couple of weeks is that God isn't done yet. And that's the big point of Psalm 22. That's how we've tied it to the cross, is that God isn't done yet. Like, we've all been there, right? We're stuck in a moment when we don't know how things are going to turn out. And the question is what do we do in that moment? Do we panic? Do we try to take control? Or do we trust that something bigger is at work? Like, maybe you struggle with faith. You haven't seen God work in your life. You haven't seen God work in other people's lives. Trusting in something that you can't see seems really unreasonable. You know, David trusted before seeing the outcome. Like, what if faith isn't about having all the answers, but choosing to believe even in uncertainty? Maybe you're at a stage where you're pursuing something and you have not seen immediate results. Maybe dating, maybe trying to start a business, maybe trying to extend your career, get that promotion. You're trying to establish yourself, but life just is not going the way that you expect. And you feel stuck. You feel like your hard work is not being paid off. And it seems like everyone else is moving forward. Like, everything else is working for people. At least that's what they're portraying on social media. You know, David was anointed king. He had to wait years to become king. And while he was waiting to become king, he was running for his life. He trusted before he saw the outcome. Like, what if faith is about getting what we want, but trusting in God's timing? Maybe you're investing deeply in your child's future, but you're not seeing immediate results, and it's frustrating, and you carry this weight of responsibility, and you sometimes wonder, am I doing enough? You feel helpless when our kids are struggling. You feel like a failure when our kids make really bad decisions. And David models what it looks like to trust God, that he's working even when we do not see immediate change. Maybe you've experienced a loss recently, and that can make God feel really distant. It's one of the hardest places to trust before seeing the outcome. Like, what do you do when what you've prayed for hasn't happened? That what I love about Psalm 22 is that David is really real. Like, he is super honest. And he's like, I was at rock bottom, but then something shifted in me. I went from despair to trust, even though my circumstances hadn't changed. See, it's easy to say that we trust God, especially when things are going good. But what if they aren't? Like, we could say that we trust God, but the moment that struggle comes, that financial hardship, that unanswered prayer, that health crisis, that relational collapse, do we really trust him before we see the outcome? David had every reason to doubt, but yet he chose to trust anyway. David, a man after God's own heart, still felt abandoned, but made a choice to trust. Guys, what if our struggles with doubt, it's not a sign of weak faith, but what if it's an opportunity for deeper trust? And this tension that we all face, right, that this in-between, we feel like God is distant, we're struggling with a little bit of doubt, we're waiting for something to be answered, that's when our faith grows, that's when our faith is formed, not when things are easy, but when things are unclear. When David wrote Psalm 22, he did not see the outcome yet, but he made a choice to trust God anyway. What if the moment that you are in right now is the exact place where your faith is being refined? Like we mentioned the last two Sundays, David wrote this in a season of deep suffering. Now, we don't know when he was writing this, but here's what we do know. In this moment of feeling abandoned, God inspired David to write the song as both a personal cry and a prophetic glimpse into what Jesus would suffer. And we're going to pick it up where Tim left off last Sunday with verse 22. And David's entire tone begins to shift. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. David is committed to telling those around him that he is choosing to call on God's name. He's trusting in God's unchanging character than immediate rescue. Simply, he's trusting in God, not what God can do for him, but he's trusting in God. And then when he gets the chance, as the nation begins to gather, David's going to praise God in front of everybody. Here's the thing. Before his circumstances change, before getting proof that his situation is going to turn around, David chooses to worship. See, trusting God means speaking out loud to ourselves and to others about God's goodness, about God's character, about God's goodness, his greatness, his power, before we experience a rescue. Worship's a choice. It's not a feeling. We don't wait to worship until we see change. We worship in the waiting. See, what we say about God in our waiting matters, because our words reflect trust in his character or doubt in his ability. For some of us, man, we're waiting. It feels like we're not getting anywhere. And many of us feel that way as parents. One of the things that I'm learning to trust God is with my daughter's future. Even though I have no idea what it's going to look like, I can't control the future. But here's what I can control: how I raise her. In a home where we speak of who God is, a couple weeks ago, we were in a place where she was really nervous to go, and she was going to be kind of be by herself for about an hour, a little over an hour. And I said, well, why don't we just pray? And right there, we were praying in my truck. People were walking by. We didn't care. Because in that moment, I wanted my daughter to know that, man, we can depend on God, that we can go to him for help. David does the same thing here. He chooses to declare God's name before anything changes. His trust isn't based on circumstances. It's based on God's character. David continues, all you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him, all you descendants of Israel. Did you catch that? Did you know that God changed Jacob's name to Israel? And that Israel became the moniker of God's people who he made a covenant with? What David's doing, maybe he's doing this intentionally, but he's allowing us to know that God changes things. God can change our circumstances. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. What David's doing is shifting from personal faith to now calling the entire community to trust God. He acknowledges that suffering does not mean abandonment, and the phrase not hidden is crucial. See, David felt really abandoned in the first half of the psalm, but now he reminds himself, God's been listening the whole time. Faith is not about feeling. It's about trusting that even when we feel unheard, God is still present. Just because we don't see God moving doesn't mean he isn't working. In moments of doubt, what we remind ourselves of matters. Even in deep pain, God is neither absent nor indifferent. He hears your cry. He hears your groan. He hears your angry outburst. He hears it all. He sees it all. He's neither absent nor indifferent. A couple of months ago, we were at the dentist for Brooke's biannual cleaning. And it was scheduled for her to have x-rays done. So they asked me to step out and stand behind the wall so I didn't get x-rayed without protection. And so the dental assistant is having a really hard time getting the guard in Brooke's mouth. And so she starts to panic, and I start seeing some tears rolling down her eye, but she can't see me. But I was watching everything go down. Then all of a sudden, she heard my voice say, remove the large guard and just keep the small guard. And then all of a sudden, she quietly smiled and gave me a thumbs up. See, God is present even when we don't perceive him to be. David continues, from you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat, they will be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. David's praise is not just personal, it impacts other people. His faith encourages the poor, the seekers, the faithful. Worship is not just about getting something from God, but it's about who God is and how he provides for all people, whether they recognize it or not. David is seeing beyond his present suffering to a future where God provides. Our trust in God has a ripple effect. The way we trust God in difficulty can strengthen other people. Have you ever been around somebody who has this extraordinary faith? It inspires you, right? Faith is not just personal, it's communal. How we worship and trust in trials can encourage others to trust him. And then David wraps up the psalm, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. So David's faith extends beyond his lifetime. He is seeing a future where God's name is known across generations. Did you notice a name change? David starts off the psalm with referring to God as Lord or Yahweh, which is his personal covenant-keeping name. David clings to God's covenant faithfulness in personal suffering. Like in his suffering, David clings to who God is, not just what God can do for him. He praises Yahweh. He praises God before his rescue. See, we worship before the breakthrough because we trust in God. We trust in his character, not just what he can do for us. And then David shifts to referring to God as Adonai. It refers to God as being the sovereign Lord over all, where all nations recognize his kingship. Okay, so David now focuses on, it moves from personal suffering to God's ultimate reign over all nations and generations. Okay, so what seemed like abandonment was actually leading to a greater purpose, God's dominion over everything. What started out as a personal cry of doubt has now become a global declaration of hope. What looked like God's absence was actually setting the stage for his greater plan. God's plan is bigger than our momentary struggles. Even when David's circumstances hadn't changed, he trusted in God's ultimate victory. And Jesus may have been referring to this line of the psalm when he said, "It is finished." Jesus fulfills this psalm as his suffering on the cross led to salvation for generations to come, as the crucified Messiah is now the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Because at the cross it looked like defeat, but Jesus was actually declaring victory. Resurrection hadn't happened yet, but he trusted the Father's plan. The words, "It is finished," was not just about circumstances, but about the certainty of God's promises. If Jesus could declare victory before resurrection, we can trust God before we see the outcome. God's greatest work often happens in the darkest moments. Faith is believing that the story isn't over, even when it looks like it is. Maybe you struggle with faith because you have not seen God work in your life. You haven't seen him work in other people's lives, and trusting in something that you can't see seems really unreasonable to you. But David, hopefully we've seen this, but David shows us something different, that he trusted before he saw the outcome. See, what if faith isn't about having all the answers, but choosing to believe when you don't? Maybe you're pursuing a dream. Maybe you're working hard to establish yourself, but you don't always see immediate results. You're grinding, you're showing up, you're putting in the effort, but life is not unfolding the way that you expect. You feel stuck, you feel frustrated, you feel like your hard work is not being paid off, like everyone else is moving forward while you're still standing still. But David was anointed king, and he had to wait years while running for his life. He was faithful when he didn't see progress. See, what if faith isn't about getting what you want, but trusting in God's timing? Maybe you're investing deeply in your child's future. You're doing your best to raise them in faith. You're doing your best to kind of set them up for independence and success, but parenting is full of unknowns. You have not always seen immediate results, and it's frustrating. And you're wondering, am I doing enough? David reminds us in this psalm that God is working even though we may not see immediate change. Maybe you've experienced a loss, whether you've lost someone close to you, a relationship, or maybe a deep disappointment. Here's the deal, guys. Life doesn't always go our way. And when it doesn't, God can feel distant. So what do you do when what you've been praying for hasn't happened? When the healing doesn't come, when the door doesn't open, when the plan falls apart? David reminds us in Psalm 22 that he was at rock bottom. He felt abandoned, but then something shifted in him. He moved from despair to trust, even though his circumstances hadn't changed. It's easy to trust God when things are good, but what about when they aren't? When the finances aren't coming together, when the prayer seems unanswered, when the storm doesn't pass. Like, we could say that we trust God, but do we trust him before we see the outcome? David had every reason to doubt, but he chose to trust anyway. A man after God's own heart still felt abandoned, but yet he made a choice to worship. So here's the challenge. What would it look like for you to trust God before seeing the outcome? Maybe for you, it's choosing to worship when you feel stuck. Maybe for you, it's remaining faithful in a season of waiting. Or maybe for you, it's speaking truth over your doubts, just like David did. Because at the end of Psalm 22, David declares this: they will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. And centuries later, Jesus echoed those words on the cross: it is finished. What seemed like abandonment was actually the fulfillment of God's greatest promise, our salvation. Here's a couple of things I want us to think about. One, where in your life do you struggle to trust God before seeing the outcome? Number two, how has God been faithful in your past even when things don't go as you expect? And number three, what is one step you could take this week to choose faith over fear, even in uncertainty? I'd love to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we're incredibly thankful for this opportunity to not just read a song that was written, 3,000 years ago, but to make the connection of what happened that changed everything about 2,000 years ago. How Jesus fulfilled this song of David. That Jesus was the one that David was pointing to. God, I have no idea what people in this room and what people are listening are dealing with. I have no idea. And I just ask the Father, you remind them that you have not abandoned them. That you've heard every cry. You've heard every angry outburst. You have not been indifferent, nor have you been distant. But you've been present. And I ask in this moment that, Father, for those who've been praying for something for weeks or months or years, that'd be answered, but most importantly, that they'd have a deeper connection with you. They get to know you better. They would trust your character. They would trust your power. They would trust you. Father, I ask that in these moments of the in-between where maybe we're waiting on something or we just feel like maybe we're struggling with a little bit of doubt, that in those moments, that's when our faith grows. That's when it's being refined. And I just ask that you will reveal that to us, that, hey, that's what's happening. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And so, Father, I just ask that this message really prepares us as we head into Easter. Father, we're so thankful for our salvation. In Jesus' name.